Mexican Americans don't like to just get into gang fights. They like flowers and music and white girls named Debbie too. Mexican Americans are named Chata and Chela and Chema and have a son-in-law named Jeff. Mexican Americans don't like to get up early in the morning, but they have to, so they do it real slow. Mexican Americans love education, so they go to night school and they take Spanish and get a B.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the show. This is Keeping It Raw. I am Raw, and today we're talking about Cinco de Mayo, the 5th of May. Today we're going to be going over a brief history of Cinco de Mayo. We're going to be talking about Mexican-American culture, and we're going to be going over at the end the oath that immigrants take whenever they become a citizen. The oath that immigrants take. Pretty cool. So let's go ahead and do that. First, Cinco de Mayo.
The year is 1861, and it has been 40 years since Mexico gained its independence from Spain. These 40 years have been tumultuous, to say the least, but nothing would come close to threaten their independence than the imperial ambitions of a new Napoleon. This is the story of how a young and unstable republic fought off an empire. This is the story of the second French intervention in Mexico.
Mexico gained its independence from Spain, loses a couple battles to the United States, and is set in retreat mode, right? Defeat. The Mexican culture at this time, there is a lot going on, but ultimately a defeatist attitude. So what happens next? Well, we had gotten into a lot of debt in Mexico. We owed America, we owed Europe, and the new president comes in and he's like, hey, listen, we owe a lot of money right now, but for the next 2 years, we're not going to be paying anybody. So Mexico had worked out these arrangements with these different countries, and everybody complied except one, France. Well, at the time, France had something to prove, even though they really didn't. France had the biggest, baddest army. They had the premier army of the entire world. Yeah, they did. Way before America got bigger and badder, France was there. And France's army was feared. Okay. Now, the thing is that other than having a great army, France had a new leader, Napoleon III, not Napoleon Dynamite, I mean, not that one, and then also not Napoleon Bonaparte, but Napoleon Bonaparte's nephew, Napoleon III. And he's like, yeah, you're going to pay us, Mexico, or else we're going to send 5,000 people over there and collect. So they sent 5,000 troops to Mexico to collect. And Mexican armies, they kind of anticipated this was going to happen. So what they did was they decided that they would fortify the port that they would be coming into. So there was 2,000 Mexican soldiers and 5,000 France soldiers coming in. And in one day, Mexico made the France army the biggest, baddest army retreat. It was a true David and Goliath story. And although Mexicans would eventually lose, that ignited Mexican pride. And they decided to call it Cinco de Mayo, a national holiday. And that's pretty much the story of Cinco de Mayo. They eventually lost to the war to the French. But that battle kind of sent a message to everybody. Hey, look, you have the biggest, baddest army sent to us, and we defeated it. Like, that was the message that was sent out, and France was totally embarrassed. They had sent originally 5,000. Well, now that they had lost, they turned around and sent 28,000. They had the numbers. They just grossly underestimated the Mexican resilience at that time. But again, eventually won. This is Keeping It Raw.
Yo, what's up? You're listening to the Keeping It Raw podcast.
And this is 2020.
The music is my language and the world is my family. Mariachi music is a staple in Mexican culture. We also have Vicente Fernandez. Now, one cool thing that I discovered recently, well, not discovered, but Grito, G-R-I-T-O. Grito is cry. It's Spanish for cry. And it's very popular in mariachi music, and it's probably something you've heard. In fact, here's what it sounds like. This is from the Three Amigos movie, something that you'd probably recognize. Now, when you talk about sad, well-known sad singers, Vicente Fernandez tops the charts.
Se me sigue consumiendo por tu maldito amor, por tu maldito amor.
Then we have one of Mexican Americans' most favorite singers, and mostly because of her notoriety and recognition. Jennifer Lopez played her in a movie. We have Selena, or as some jokingly refer to her as Salinas. Now, Selena is also a movie where you get a lot of insight into a Mexican-American family. In it, Edward James Olmos, who plays the father of Selena, has a memorable quote that I love to use. Enjoy this clip.
Dad, a gig in Monterrey, Mexico.
Yeah, that would be so cool.
I'm not sure of that right now.
Come on, Dad.
Hey, Dad, you always said everything's a risk, right?
They don't accept us with it. They never have.
Hello, we're Mexican.
No, we are Mexican-American, and they don't like Mexican-Americans.
That's all the same.
And they can be mean, and they can tear us apart over there. Selena's Spanish is...
What about my Spanish? I've been singing in Spanish for 10 years. It's perfect.
Singing, yes, but when you speak it a little funny. And down there, you got to speak perfectly, or the press will eat you up and spit you out alive. I've seen them do it.
Oh, man. Overreacting as usual.
Yeah, the music will speak for itself, Dad.
Listen, being Mexican-American is tough. Anglos jump all over you if you don't speak English perfectly. Mexicans jump all over you if you don't speak Spanish perfectly. We got to be twice as perfect as anybody else. Why are you laughing? What's so funny?
Nothing.
I'm serious.
Nothing.
Our family
serious,
has
Dad.
Been here for centuries, and yet they treat us as if we just swam across the Rio Grande. I mean, we got to know about John Wayne and Pedro Infante. We got to know about Frank Sinatra and Agustin Lara. We got to know about Oprah and Christina. Anglo food is too bland, and yet when we go to Mexico, we get the runs. Now, that to me is embarrassing.
No, Dad!
Japanese Americans, Italian Americans, German Americans, Their homeland is on the other side of the ocean. Ours is right next door, right over there. And we got to prove to the Mexicans how Mexican we are, and we got to prove to the Americans how American we are. We got to be more Mexican than the Mexicans and more American than the Americans, both at the same time. It's exhausting.
Other popular Mexican-American movies are Mi Familia, Blood In, Blood Out, American Me, Stand and Deliver, Coco. You might hear phrases like Viva la Raza, Vatos Locos Forever, and your favorite food in America is probably Mexican food. We love George Lopez and Gabriel Iglesias.
And it's funny because, you know, for me to relate to my son, it's a little challenging, you guys. And it's not that I can't relate to a teenager, because I can. I can relate to almost any age. You know, I got people that brought kids here tonight. The problem is that my son doesn't see me as an entertainer. He sees me as the guy that tells him to take a shower, put on deodorant, you know, stop picking your nose. That's me. His friends, on the other hand, I'm like a god to his friends. Every time I drop off Frankie at school now, I pull up, you know, the kids see my car. They freak out and they run over to it and they put their hands on it like it's a shrine. They touch the car like freaking,
Selena está aquí.
You know? Some of you got that. Gracias. Anyway. Then the kids start shaking my car side to side, chanting, Fluffy, Fluffy, Fluffy. And Frankie's in the front seat, pissed. He's pissed. He's like, this is... I'm like, hey, dude, don't get mad at me because I'm more popular than you at your school. Little hater.
Now, because America had a destiny to manifest, they fought and took a lot of land from Mexico. And Mexicans have always been here and will continue to be here in America because a lot of this land was our land. I mean, I've talked about it in a recent, in an old podcast that my family derives, you know, some of my family derives from the United States before it was the United States. But our closeness to Mexico has meant that there are many Mexicans who come into America, both legally and illegally. And, you know, just like any other immigrant into the United States, when you desire to get a citizenship, you must take the oath to become a citizen. So now, it's your turn to take the oath. The naturalization oath of allegiance to the United States of America. I'll say a line, and you repeat after me. I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty, of whom or which I have heretofore been a subject or citizen, that I will support and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by law, that I will perform non-combat service in the armed forces of the United States when required by law. That I will perform work of national importance under civilian direction when required by law, and that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion. So help me God. Congratulations, you're now a U.S. citizen. So whether you are a mijo or a mija or son or a daughter, whether you get spanked with a chancla or a broom, whether you like beans and rice or not, whether you like tacos and burritos or not, whether your friends ask you for a green card just to mess with you or not, remember that you are loved and you should be nice to people because you don't know what another person has been through. Got it? To close out this podcast, and while I realize I haven't talked about everything in the world about Mexican-American culture, I wanted to end this podcast with a special song called Remember Me. Remember me, though I have to say goodbye. Remember me, don't let it make you cry. For even if I'm far away, I hold you in my heart. I sing a secret song to you each night we are apart. Remember me. Travel far, remember me. Each time you hear a sad guitar, know that I'm with you the only way that I can be. Until you're in my arms again, remember me.
Listening to the Keeping It Raw podcast.